from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, it's playoffs or bust. That's for the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers putting it all out there yesterday. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Aaron Rodgers meeting the media yesterday. There was a lot of ground to cover, as there generally is with Rodgers. But let's start, Perloff, with the expectations for the Jets this year, acknowledging that everyone feels a little like, you know, cheated because last year only lasted 4 plays. There was so much hype around Rodgers switching teams. And now, you know, it's all right there. So let's listen to Rodgers saying he knows that the Jets will blow this whole thing up if they underachieve.
You said earlier there's pressure on all of us.
All of us, yeah.
Why do you say there's pressure on you?
Well, I think if I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing, we're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though.
I mean, we're all going to be out of here. Yeah. The coach and the general manager have to be like, ixnay on the we're all out of here. How about you could be out of here? He just put a lot of pressure on this team, Perloff. And Well, I know, but they're veterans on this team. But there's a lot of young guys who have not experienced any meaningful winning. And to put this on them in that way, I don't like where this is headed here with Rodgers.
Well, what do they care? I mean, what is Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner aren't going anywhere. But that was so obviously Joe Douglas, the GM, and Robert Saleh are going to get fired if they don't make the playoffs. I heard on a podcast today on The Ringer that if they don't make the Super Bowl, that Saleh and Joe Douglas are going to get fired. Now, I don't believe that at all. That's way too high a bar. But
team hasn't made the playoffs in 13 years. Right. All of a sudden, it's Super Bowl or bust. That seems a little crazy.
To me, that's not really a hot statement from Aaron Rodgers. That's a fact. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, Saleh is gone, the head coach. And honestly, if they don't win a playoff game, he might be gone too. Like, this is very clear. Of all the spicy things Aaron Rodgers says to me, this one feels down the middle of the road. I'm not bothered by him saying this.
See, I think that you set this kind of expectation. You can set this in your building. You can do this internally. You can say, guys, there's pressure here. Rodgers already has not only a season under his belt, kind of understanding this franchise and organization, the media market you're in, all of that. He saw it go haywire and basically, you know, go sideways last year because he had to call out the BS, right? At the end of the year, he had to call out the leaks and the BS and all of that stuff. Why would you put more red meat out there? He is not learning the lesson, which is if you want to lead this team, you've got to do this behind the scenes. And he's telling everybody who will listen, I'm not a distraction. I'm not a distraction. Prove it. Don't do McAfee this year. Don't do it. It would hurt us. We love it. It gives us fodder for days. We have a whole segment called What the Bleep is Aaron Rodgers Up to Today. But if you are really serious about this being a playoff team, maybe a Super Bowl team, I don't know, and you really don't want the distractions and you want the pressure, prove it to everybody and don't do Pat McAfee this year. And he can't do it. He cannot do it because he wants to get his opinion out there more than he actually wants to win.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with that comment about I have to win for the otherwise everyone's going to get washed out of here?
What about the Jets? Even if you're there for 2 days, let alone a year, even in and out doing rehab, what makes you think this organization handles pressure well? Nothing. They're not that kind of a franchise because they don't have a winning culture. They don't have something to rely on where they have these winning ways. That Super Bowl is from 1969. There's nothing really here outside of a couple blips up and down, a few things here or there where you can say, oh, the Jets were successful. There's nothing about this particular franchise that shows you that they can handle external pressure and they can turn that into something positive. And you just put it out there in the first OTA.
Honestly.
Is it blind? You're tone deaf and blind.
Well, maybe, but what he said there adds zero pressure. Because that pressure, I mean, they would have to be completely oblivious to think that this wasn't the case. I mean, do you think Joe Douglas is like, whoa, wait a second here. If we don't win this year, I'm going to be out of here? Of course he knows
that. So why say it then? Like, why do you have to say it?
Because it doesn't matter. I mean, who cares? That, of all the things Aaron Rodgers said, that one to me was one of the least controversial, problematic. And honestly, like, you have so much pressure just being an NFL team. This is not adding to it. And a lot of teams are feeling that kind of pressure. I totally agree with you about the distractions and Aaron Rodgers ironically calling out the team for, you know, doing non-football stuff and then doing more non-football. That's called transference.
Yeah.
One finger pointing at you and four pointing back. Of course, Aaron Rodgers is the most non-football focused player in the entire NFL right now. But him saying, like, yes, there is pressure. Because that's reality. They know this. You don't think Robert Saleh is aware of what's happening here.
Is that going to make him a better coach?
Just putting it out there is harmless to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but there's so much pressure on that building right now because there's so much hype. They have a 40-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
By definition, that is pressure.
And what he could have said, and we're talking about Aaron Rodgers yesterday, his first media availability.
What could he have said?
What he could have said is, I know I'm out of here if we don't play and I don't play like I should. I know I'm out of here because I know the organization would want to start with a younger quarterback. I know I'm out of here. Not I know we're all out of here. That's ridiculous. And here's the other part. The last time we saw Jets head coach Robert Saleh, he was in a controversy where he was texting a radio host about the status of Zach Wilson. This dude can't handle Jack.
So now
you just put the pressure on if he's definitely going to be out of here. Like, why put his job status out and make that public business? If they're feeling all that behind the scenes, then let them feel it behind the scenes. Don't give the red meat to everyone who's waiting to LOL Jets anyway. And the fact that he could be in the building and claim to have this finger on the pulse of the Jets, you haven't learned a dang thing.
So you're saying your advice to Aaron Rodgers is make it more I statements than we statements.
My advice to Rodgers is stay low. And if you, or as that low is, as you
that,
can.
Honestly, the lowest statement he said of all the things he said over this offseason, that is as low as they get.
Well, here's the thing. If you know there's pressure on the building and everyone in it, do you try to ratchet it up or do you try to diffuse it?
Can we play the quote again? Because to me, like, the energy around this quote is as low-key as Aaron Rodgers could possibly get. It's almost like, you know what? We all know what's going on here.
You said earlier there's pressure on all of us.
All of us, yeah.
Why do you say there's pressure on you?
Well, I think if I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing, we're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though.
Okay, you do. We're all out of here. Dude, speak for yourself.
I don't know. All the pressure on the Jets, this is not adding to it. The Jets had that pressure already, and this sort of laid-back comment by Rodgers, a throwaway comment kind of, to me, does not affect
a single thing. This is the type of comment that gets resurfaced after a bad loss. This is the fishbowl that he decided to be in.
Who cares? After a bad loss, they're going to get killed anyway.
I will say this. I think knowing the Jets' history with things and how they handle these things, those guys have been told.
What, that they're out?
I think they've been told.
Okay, but
everybody on Earth knows that those guys are done.
I think they've been told, and they're gonna own it.
Okay,
and,
but here's the thing.
That's fine with me.
But here's the thing. Say, I know that this is not like a... Say you're working for a company, and maybe they're not doing that great. They haven't had a lot of wins or success in a while. And everyone kind of feels it. Would you want the most high-profile person going out there and being like, yep, you're right. If we don't, we're out of here. It's like, it just adds this unnecessary layer here. Even if everyone knows it and understands it in the building, why would you give that to the media in New York and the fans? Like, your anxiety shouldn't be their anxiety.
Well, I think it's actually refreshing because there's a bit of honesty.
Mm. Accountability.
And accountability. I think in New York, especially, people want to hear that. I think if he came out and was rah-rah and was the stuff he was doing last year, I think people would get a little bit like, all right, enough of this guy. Let's go. We got to get wins.
Well,
I think he's putting it on his shoulders, and I think that's something that says something about him.
But here's the thing. And Pete, I accept that, and I see where you're coming from, but it's a very different view. And Aaron Rodgers' view is very different than everyone else in that organization. He's actually done some winning. He actually has some pelts on the wall, and he can show some success. And ultimately, no matter what happens, this will be a footnote of his career. He's a Packer.
Oof.
That I mean...
He went to the Super Bowl.
Sure, he'll be a legend here in New York, He's a Packer. 18 years with the Packers.
I mean, you said footnote. That's why. Yeah. That's the only reason why. If you went to Super Bowl with the Jets, that's a massive. That's like LeBron winning in Cleveland.
Do you consider that was way more loaded? Do you consider Peyton Manning his Denver career? Do you consider him a Colt?
No, because the Broncos have won multiple Super Bowls and they had a greater quarterback than Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Okay, but you think better of Peyton Manning as a Colt,
but I think it's totally different than the Jet thing.
Okay. Well,
by the way,
my thing was only the footnote. I think I agree he's a Packer. I'm just saying I think winning a Jet Super Bowl is massive in not just New York. I think that's like the winning Super Bowl with the Lions. Like,
but Maggie was saying
a loser.
Maggie was saying if it fails, we won't. The failure will not.
He wears
that
it.
I agree.
And everyone else is going to get fired, and they might have anyway. And I'm actually surprised that even Robert Saleh got to stick around for even this year. But it's like putting someone else's business out there. Why are you doing that? You know, I think the Jets fans were a little bummed that Rodgers basically is the spokesperson for the organization. And last year, when he wasn't even really, he was rehabbing from an Achilles, but he keeps doing the McAfee show. This is the thing about the McAfee show, and Rodgers is a willing participant in this, and he loves Pat, and he plays along with it. If he doesn't understand, because this is Rodgers, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and I don't know if he always is. They bait him into stuff. Like, they realize where they take it. It's one part of the stuff they talk about on ESPN. Do you ever watch where it goes once they leave ESPN and it's just on YouTube? I mean, some of that stuff is wonky, man. And they realize it's brilliant. I'm not saying they're, like, totally manipulative, but they understand what they have in this guy, which is a never-ending fountain of insanity. And so if I were really challenging Rodgers, I would say if you really are all about the season and you're about winning and everyone's job is on the line, don't do McAfee.
Well, forget McAfee. I mean, it's Tucker Carlson and all these. McAfee's not bringing anything out of Rodgers. Rodgers is going to deliver that content regardless. And he found about 10 different outlets this summer to go with those. Honestly, I can't speak for Jets fans. I'm not a Jets fan, but I think most Jets fans are like, dude, just get out there and be healthy, and I don't care what you say. Just go out there and sling that rock around like you're doing in slow-mo on Instagram right now.
I hate to be middleman because that's not what we do in this business, but like there is a part of me that, and you know I riff Aaron Rodgers 100 times on the show, there's part of me that did appreciate the accountability he's taking on this, but the reason why I nodded when we played that clip again to you, Maggie, was the question is, why do you feel that way? And he's like, well, it's us that have the pressure. That was the only thing that made me feel a little weird. Because, yeah, if you want to put it on yourself like you keep saying, then, yeah, put it on yourself.
Put it on yourself.
I'm going to be out of here. The fact that the guy said you have pressure. Why do you feel that way? He's like, well, because we're all going to be gone.
Well,
if I'm Rob Stein, I'm like, what the hell? He didn't ask about me.
But he's saying, I feel responsibility. If I don't perform my best, I'm letting the whole team down. That's like
say
what you want to hear.
Say I'm letting the team down. Not we're all going to get, everyone's getting fired.
I think that was the implied message. Like, if I don't do my job, I'm really hurting this team badly. That's what I read out of it. And also, too, it's like, I mean, I always say this. He's a quarterback up at a podium. He's just trying to get out of there.
He revels.
That was such a harmless. To me, that was one of the most harmless things he's ever said.
We have more from Rodgers here. This was about the fact that he may have been running for vice president at some point, but he cleared that up and said it was really kind of like a fork in the road for his life.
I love Bobby. We had a couple of really nice conversations. But there were really two options. It was retire and be his VP or keep playing. And I want to keep playing.
I mean, basically saying he had it in the bag, which is kind of interesting.
Confirms those rumors that he was sort of offered. But to me, it's really funny, too. He wants to keep playing. I feel like he cares a lot about politics in the country. Like, if he thought he was going to win, what if he thought he was going to win vice president? Would you step down from your playing career to be vice president of the United States? The way he said it sounded funny. He's like, you know, it wasn't keep playing or be a broadcaster. It was keep playing or be a vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a third party candidate. So, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. So it's a third party candidate. If it was a Republican nominee or the Democrat nominee, you think it would be a different conversation?
Yes. I think so, yeah.
I don't think he'd be the Jets quarterback.
I think he would have done it. And just like, why? I mean, wow. That's
a pretty, I mean, honestly, if you want to serve your country, you could do more as a vice president than a quarterback.
And I will say this. I've written them for this well, like many Jet fans have. But, I mean, this is what I also wanted to hear, was that he wasn't, there wasn't this idea that he was going to try to do this and play quarterback. Because that's what the conversation we were having on the show.
Oh.
Is he's going to try to be a campaign guy
right.
and also be playing quarterback, you know, skipping practices. The fact that he said that I had to make a decision to fork in the road that it was not going to be both, it was going to be one or the other, and that he chose the Jets, it's a little scary that it got that far, but at least he was not thinking, he didn't have the arrogance to think that he could do both.
Okay, but I love how Rodgers, and again, not understanding the market, not understanding anything, which is he thinks now this is all this is over. Like they said, you know, you said everyone had to flush the BS and about the distractions, and yet people could perceive this and some other things you do on podcasts and stuff as being a distraction. He's like, well, once the season starts, that's the season. Like, yeah, sure. First of all, that's not even true because you do McAfee every week and they cover every topic under the sun. And the other part is you just think this stuff goes away. Like all of a sudden we're just going to get amnesia, like some kind of Men in Black thing, like that you were offered allegedly the vice presidential nomination for some random third party candidate.
That dude gets some W's under his belt. It will be collective amnesia. Nothing he said this summer will ever come to light.
But he all wants America to keep cares it alive. About is, he likes to keep this stuff alive.
Yeah, maybe. But if he wins, then he's allowed to do whatever he wants. That's how it works. That's the formula.
Right.
But then that's the question is will he win? Because, again, his last year with the Packers was just it was not great. It just wasn't.
Like, I think the thinking is even if he's not great, the Jets defense is so good. All you need is a healthy Rodgers. Like, I think that's... Isn't that where I'm not a Jets again? Yep. But isn't that the mindset right now? Just get him out on the field. They just need medium quarterback play. Yeah, and they're going to be pretty good.
But he won't. That's not his thing. I don't think that he can stay like, oh, I'm just going to be like point guard here or something. I think this is what I think about him lately. I never used to think this about him. Mm-hmm. But he had a never-ending quest for credit. And it's whether it's to be known as being a great quarterback, which he doesn't have to, he already is, to be a smart person, to be an informed citizen, smarter than everybody, doing my own research, all that stuff. It's just this never-ending search for clout and credit. And it's just, no matter what, he's not going to be able to help himself.
But I'm just saying, though, if he was had like, a, I think, a 92 rating his last year in Green Bay, they were 8-9, they lost that game to the Lions.
Yeah.
If he plays at that level of quarterback
for the Jets, good.
The Jets are going to be good. That's all I'm saying is he just needs to do medium, healthy play, and the Jets are going to probably be an 11-win team, which is great.
Yeah.
Right. Look, without him this year and without the pieces they added in the offseason, they were 7-10.
Yeah, no, I know.
Not like they had one win.
They don't need MVP Rodgers. They need serviceable Rodgers. And I think you said that he'd be fine. I think he'd be fine. If they go, he knows he's 40. I don't think he has to put up I don't think his ego is going to say, I've got to start slinging around and get 45 touchdowns. I think if he gets W's here, that's all he wants. I mean, he's coming off an Achilles. He's not, I know he's delusional, but he's not that delusional.
The other part, too, just on the physical part, he did say the last bit of this is just the confidence on the Achilles. He said he's obviously cleared to do everything, so the nuts and bolts of his comeback are in place. Like he said, this is just the last part, running full speed, top speed, and just trusting the Achilles, which everyone goes through.
Yeah, I actually, my whole takeaway from this is Jets fans are delusional about his health, by the way, because I'm here and watching this thing about quarterbacks on social media throwing the ball. This is 7-on-7 in shorts in May. Do not tell me he's healthy because you're seeing this. This is coming off an Achilles at 40. There's a long way to go. We're taking the fact that he might be healthy this year a bit for granted to me.
You're welcome to weigh in on Rodgers at 855-212-4227. Is he going to be able to make good on this pressure and kind of the promise of, hey, if I play the way I can, you know, we're all going to be good. And if not, we're all gone. So pack a bag, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. Yikes. Okay. Let us know what you think about Rodgers, 855-212-4227. Coming up, we do have a Scotty Scheffler update for you from Louisville. So we'll do that in a moment.
Oh, great.
Get ready, Pete. The story that is your personal torture chamber as an update.
Call out to your wigs and keys, folks.
Maggie Perloff.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for Aaron Rodgers' career to be over so we don't have to ever talk about this man again. He's taking us into... Anytime his name comes up, now there's conspiracy theories floating around here. The fact that the Jets quarterback was going to be vice president is...
That's not a conspiracy. He confirmed that yesterday.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it's very funny to me that the fact that the quarterback of an NFL team went up to a podium yesterday and said, I was almost a vice presidential candidate this summer. It's not really the major headline that, because at this point, like Rodgers says so many things. Like a couple weeks ago, he's praising Vladimir Putin. Now he's talking about the pressure on Joe Douglas. It's just so, it's so much. It's just like, none of it really sticks anymore to me because it's just so many bizarre elements of this whole story.
Okay, well, you're thinking about this in the wrong way. If we're
How's
talking
that?
About Aaron Rodgers, you're like, oh, I can't wait for him, his career to end so we don't have to talk about him anymore.
Please.
Look at, he was just about to be the vice presidential candidate for, you know, for a presidential race. Yeah. You think Rodgers is going anywhere in our lives when he's done playing football?
This that
is
could at least be true.
Good. We have like a distraction for him that for at least like, you know, 25 weeks out of the year, he's got to be busy with football. We should pray that he stays in football forever.
But you know what I mean? And I don't think I'm alone on this. The hype around the Jets last year was overwhelming. It was.
Yeah, it was.
They
silly.
Were so. And the similar thing kind of happened when Russell Wilson went to Denver. Like the hype of a veteran quarterback switching teams is a huge thing. And I think you only get one summer of that hype. And I feel like we're getting a 2.0 this year.
Because we never got the first season.
Is that why?
It's just delayed hype.
Okay.
You know? We don't have Hard Knocks this year, though,
explains
so that will
it.
Help.
That explains it, right. If he had gone 7-10 and played all the games last year, then there'd be no hype. But you're right. I feel like we're back to last year's hype because it was just delayed. That's a good point.
855-212-4227. Rich is in California. Has a thought on Rodgers. Hey, Rich.
Hi. I don't think anybody who has ever dealt with Aaron Rodgers or watched with Aaron Rodgers doesn't realize that he's an aging quarterback with various sketchy health, as most aging quarterbacks have, and he hasn't run into a microphone that he instantly hasn't fallen in love with.
Mm-hmm.
The point being, I think he's just overstating the obvious, which, gee, overstating Aaron Rodgers, not that far-fetched. The point being...
About the pressure, you mean? He said it. Just to reset it for people who are just tuning in, Rodgers said he understands that if he doesn't play well, that everyone's going to get fired. So kind of implying that the coach and the general manager, everyone's going to be out. And offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators, everyone's going to be gone if he doesn't play well.
Well, yeah. Guess what? They were the ones that made the choice to go get him. I don't know that spending a whole lot. Yeah. And, well, even the owner. But you never fire owners. Owners get to hang around forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason why they get away, well, get rid of coaches too, is because they're a lot cheaper than ball players.
You know, this is the thing though, Rich, and I appreciate what you're saying, and Pete's saying it, and EJ said it's refreshing, and that, you know, at least he's putting it out there, kind of what we all know, which is this is a situation where a lot of people are on the hot seat if this goes wrong. Here's the difference. There's a chance that if this doesn't go well in the beginning of the year, that Robert Saleh gets fired in the middle of the season.
Yep.
A general manager can get fired in the middle of the season. So it's not even like he set up the pressure immediately. This might not even last till the end of the year with some of these guys. And that's why, especially in this particular market in New York, every single game is like a referendum on your job. And he just doubled down on that. Again, fine if that's the vibe in the building and everyone sort of gets it and they know that we got to play well or we're gone. But to put it out there so that now every, like, multiple newspapers in this city, whether give out just report cards after every single game, and you get a couple Robert Saleh Fs, and the reason why I even bring that up is because you know the owner listens to this stuff.
Yeah.
He's the kind of owner who can't turn the blind eye to the media coverage, and that's what's led the Jets down a long of bad paths to begin with. So Rodgers didn't just set everyone up for being gone at the end of the year. Saleh could be gone by week 5.
I think that was going to happen regardless of that comment. I don't think Rodgers saying that at the podium really affected that. That was all true. And by the way, New York, you think it's intense in New York. At least New York has a bunch of other distractions. Like most football cities, it's like all on what the quarterback did. You have the Yankees here and like...
Yeah, but people are out for blood here.
Yeah, but it's trust me, coming from Philly, like it's a different thing. Like there's... The Jets does not have the level of scrutiny that the Eagles have in Philadelphia. It's not even close. I'm telling you,
it's loud. It's loud, and it doesn't matter. Because
I listen to WFAN, and in September,
it.
You'll hear a lot about the Yankees. In September, the Phillies don't exist, and that's like most NFL cities.
Do you remember the like sort of end of the season Jets thing that came out, which was that the owner actually is looking on social media? Like it's just
the owner might be sensitive, but I'm telling you, this city is not the problem. Like every NFL team has scrutiny. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got a lot of scrutiny in Green Bay. He was the headliner there, and that is not like New York.
We're a city that's split with interest. interest, but I think Jet fandom, I wouldn't say, is less intense than Eagle fandom.
No, no, but it's not like you don't have a sports talk radio station that's obsessed with Jets.
Okay, but here's the other part, too.
My sense is that it doesn't exist.
But here's the thing. There's been some winning that has happened at those other places. Philadelphia, you've gone to a Super Bowl. You won a Super Bowl. Packers, title town. I mean, you have this sort of foundation of winning. The foundation for the Jets is losing. It's
right, and that's
failures,
why everybody's
it's circus. It's all of that. So
yeah.
It's
Mike Greenberg.
Yeah, yeah, right. Thank you, Rich. Sorry about that. Thank you for the phone call. It's like people revel in it. They like to point and laugh because you can't say, were good. They went to the back to back AFC Championship games in 2010. It's been a while.
Well, for example, but that's not because of New York. Because the Giants are in the same exact boat. They've been a loser for a decade.
And they don't get nearly the scrutiny.
Right, right. The Jets bring this on themselves, not because they're a New York team. It's because they're the Jets. And I just disagree with you a little bit about the impact of a statement like this from Rodgers, because we all know that Robert Saleh is in big trouble here. It's got to work. Just look at the records. I mean, guy's been here and not winning football. And that's just, it doesn't matter if you're the Jets, you're in Indianapolis, you're in Texas. If you don't win in the NFL, you're going to get fired. And I think Rodgers is pointing out the very obvious here. Like, this is do or die for them.
Bogish is here. He's got an update. I promised one about Scottie Scheffler's legal woes.
We'll get to that in just a second. Okay. So Pete, sit still. The Boston Celtics don't make it easy for their fans or defenders. Up 13 late third quarter on the Pacers in game one of the Eastern Conference Final. But then they needed Jaylen Brown's three with 6 seconds left in regulation just to get to overtime, where they beat those Pacers 133-128. Jason Tatum breaks it all down.
That was wild.
Exactly. Tatum scoring 10 of his 36 in extra time, but also turned the ball over, keeping Indy afloat. The Pacers made multiple mistakes in the final minute of regulation, including a botched inbounds play that set up Brown's clutch three. Tyrese Halliburton looking at the bright side.
We have been trash in game ones, first series and second series, and today we played great for about 47 minutes. Just didn't sustain it for 48. So we'll go back, watch the film. There'll be good, there'll be bad, and we'll learn from it, and we'll be a lot better in game two.
He and the Pacers lost by 15 in game one with the Bucks. Then they gave away their opener with the Knicks. This game two in Boston on Thursday night. This guy keeps making history for a bust. Victor Wembanyama is the first rookie ever to be named first team all defense, receiving 98 of 99 votes. Defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, a unanimous pick. The others selected Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, and Pelican Herb Jones.
Oh my, first of all, my guy Joel Embiid put 70 on Victor Wembanyama. So the all defense voters are idiots.
Yep.
And the defensive player of the year vote is even more ridiculous. So the NBA writers don't know what they're talking about. I just want to point that out.
Thank you.
Still means you're driving to San Antonio.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the guy is awesome.
And Joel Embiid is a first round loser. That's another thing.
He scored 70 on the number one player in the league, Victor Wembanyama.
That's great, but he's still eliminated.
Yeah, most of the times he's a second round loser, though.
You're being literal about first round loser.
Yeah, first round loser.
Oh,
I just like thought you meant like ballot loser.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about like if I ranked the losers, he's one of the first round picks.
He's not up there. There's a lot of losers in front of him.
Yes. No, you're right. He did lose in the first round.
All right, Pete.
Thank you.
Here you go, earmuffs. The Louisville police chief confirmed yesterday the department investigating the protocols used while arresting Scottie Scheffler Friday morning. An update is coming tomorrow. Mayor Craig Greenberg said yesterday he understands why Detective Brian Gillis did not have his body cam on initially, but it should have been activated during the arrest. Louisville officers must keep those body cams operational at all times, must make sure they are turned on before any law enforcement encounter.
Okay, what does that mean?
Means Scotty might get off on a technicality?
Well, we know that already.
That's a technicality?
Well, I'm just saying that he should have had, it is technical, he should have had the body cam on and he didn't.
That's more than a technicality, but okay.
Right, yeah. What it means is neither one of us know exactly what happens. You're no more right than we are in thinking of what went down. And this would have been a really useful tool to figure out just how wrong everybody involved was, and we don't have it.
Look, I've said from the beginning that this is probably a giant misunderstanding by all parties.
Right.
But my issue was just the lax after the lax response after that, going back to playing golf, laughing on the golf course, like no respect for what has happened.
Right, right.
Was my issue.
Moved on a little too fast for
Correct.
Your liking.
Yes.
Right, right.
But he did say a lot of respectful things about the way the police dealt with the thing. Like the guy cannot be more Johnny Law and Order afterwards.
I wish he had five kids just like him.
Who gets arrested and says, man, those police did a wonderful job. Those are true protectors. Like most people would be angry at the police.
Especially if they got roughed up for no reason.
Or, right, I mean, but you said we don't know.
Right. But like, I don't know how I would act after either scenario, whether I was wrong and got arrested and was lucky to be out, or I got completely overreacted to by somebody. I don't know what I would have been like 3 hours later.
I would be surprised, or I'm surprised rather, that they have not dropped the charges yet. Now they can still do this at any time. Like if it was this big misunderstanding and there doesn't appear to be any like maybe malice coming from Scheffler or maybe even the cop, like it was just this big, nobody knew and it was chaos. I thought that they would have dropped it, but they have not yet.
Yeah.
You mentioned there's an update tomorrow. Maybe that's what we get.
I mean, in overall, I think most folks should be fine with the idea of like seeing if police did their job correctly in any situation. I think what maybe some people will have difficulty with is it feels like, again, it's another example of like a privileged person getting this, you know, where because it's high profile, oh, yeah, you know, a couple of days, we're going to review everything that happened, where there are a lot of other incidents where, you know, we know months, years where that's finally, okay, let's actually go back
and
see what we did wrong. Like, that's the only thing about this that I think maybe could turn people off is
the celebrity.
Yeah,
VIPs,
on a day now,
course.
Like, we're going to just investigate the entire police department on this. You know, this is a police department that has been maligned for how they've handled other investigations and how long it took to launch them. So that would be the only thing.
And I think the mayor did say that yesterday, that these reviews should happen all the time. Whether or not there's any suspicion of, you know, things being broken, rules being broken, or whoever is involved, like, you should always be making sure you're doing things correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it all the time. Just not when, you know, number one player in the golf is
arrested. It's just funny that Scottie Scheffler is going to be the one that's like the line in the sand
all the people,
here.
Right.
Yeah. It's the world's number one golfer. Scottie Scheffler is going to lead to like any kind of like changes or reforms to the police department in Louisville.
Does anybody else think it's odd that we haven't seen like a picture of the cops, even his ripped pants, let alone like an injured knee or something?
That.
Wouldn't there be like you take pictures of that if this is obviously this is a legal matter?
Well, I read the description. It was like a laceration on his knee or something,
and
I
was his wrist too, right?
Yeah, that felt like okay. There's a civil suit coming here. Mm-hmm. Somebody's trying. That was language that seems like I'm emphasizing a minor injury to try and get
there's
money.
Also, it's probably very much union protected.
That's a good point too.
Sure, but you also can, if you want to get it out that you were victimized here, you could just have it be put out anyway.
Well, they're probably putting together their own response to it, and they're probably not ready to do it yet.
It's 6 days. I mean, it's getting too late. All they're doing is taking, I think they're trying to find a graceful exit out of this, so they cannot figure it out.
That's where we are.
That's what's so crazy about this, because it's like, it's crazy how 6 days later, we're like, we still don't know anything.
Like what happened exactly? I mean,
the only detail we have is that the dude's pants cost $80. That might have gotten ripped. Like that's the most detailed thing we have.
Oh really? $80.
That's what the police report says.
I could get
that. His uniform pants cost $80.
So who ultimately is going to get blamed out of it? This is what I was wondering: is the PGA Championship going to take some responsibility? They couldn't get their golfer the course. Is the Valhalla course? They're clearly sensitive. Well, is a major going to go back to Valhalla after this mess?
Yeah,
I think they'll say it was a chaotic moment. I mean, it was a tragedy that sparked a traffic jam. No one could have seen that coming. I don't think the PGA and Valhalla are going to wear it as much.
I disagree a little bit. I think a major sport should be able to get its athletes to the court. I think I've seen the way the NBA deals with this situation, and like, there is no game where Anthony Davis is not getting to a game three. Yeah. I think this organizer screwed up.
I agree with that. I think there hasn't been a lot of criticism of the PGA here, and there should be for a lot of reasons, and that's one of them. There should be a path, where, especially there, to get your golfers to the golf course.
Oh, safely. You guys are totally right. But let's not pretend it's the same as getting a basketball team to an arena. This is, how many golfers were there?
Right, coming at all different 100? Times of the day.
But how many?
They're all driving themselves? Like,
yeah, that's true, but they're not that many golfers. I mean, it doesn't seem, I'm sorry.
No, there are a lot of golfers.
This is based, how many people are in the tournament?
Over 100?
Over 100.
Yeah, I mean, that's not like 2,000 people you got to figure. You got to make sure
a basketball team is like 12.
Well, I'm just saying.
Two buses. This is 100 plus people plus their caddies and how many different vehicles. They're not all showing up
not
at one
plus
time.
Plus a caddy in this situation. I mean, the caddy
wasn't
there.
But that's who you got to get there, too. Right. Like, that's what you're factoring in.
Essential people.
You really got to get your golfers there. Like, you got to get your golfers there.
And to Pearl's point, we have U.S. Opens, Wimbledons. We don't have these issues. And those are tournaments with a lot of people, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, let's be honest. The PGA is not exactly having a moment here. I know that the PGA itself doesn't organize this tournament, but the sport seems like a disaster.
The U.S. Open is in Queens. You know how hard it is to get to Queens, you know, in certain times of the day? And, like, I've never heard a tennis player being like, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm going to miss my game or match, rather.
Yeah, that's true. Like, how do they always get into? They can get.
They don't live at Arthur Ashe.
They drive in from Midtown. I always say there's a documentary about Marty Fish having a nervous breakdown in the car going from Midtown Manhattan to
that's
the
like
U.S.
daily
Open
for most people.
And actually, that's a good question. How did he get there? Like, why have we never had this? That's a great question.
You leave early, off times, off peak, take the seven train. I don't know.
It was still dark when Scottie Scheffler was on the.
It's a very early tee time, way earlier than a tennis match.
That's right. So nobody here thinks that the Valhalla or PGA should wear this at all. Like, I would not. If I'm a major, I'm not going back to Valhalla.
No, I think once he got back on time to play, that the idea of not going back there was off the table. He got back on time. They had another. They've had it there four times, the PGA, and every single one has come down basically to the last hole. For whatever reason, that course produces drama. So once he got back on time and didn't actually affect the event, I think they dodged that bullet.
Got it.
Of losing it in the future. They fixed it fast enough.
Well, that's what we got. Bogus.
Yeah? No.
We'll save it for next hour because we've got lots to do. Thank you for that. This was a surprise. Someone, a superstar, pro bowler, very important person to their team, not at OTAs yesterday. We're not talking about Justin Jefferson. We're not talking about T. Higgins. This one was genuinely stunning. We'll get to that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, Perloff, we had OTAs opening up all over the country. Every team is holding some type of practice. And we know some of the people who are not going to be showing up, right? Like CeeDee Lamb is not showing up. Justin Jefferson's not showing up. T. Higgins is not signed as franchise tender. He is not showing up. I was not expecting Christian McCaffrey to be a no-show at OTAs. So here is Kyle Shanahan confirming McCaffrey's not here.
No, just like everyone else, it is voluntary. I mean, I'm not too concerned about Christian, but no, he hasn't been here.
Okay, but he's not exactly sure why he's not here.
I'm not sure if that is the case on any of those guys. I'm not throwing them all in who's here for that reason, who's not. But it is all voluntary, so we'll see when it becomes mandatory.
Yeah, and the question was, is he not here because of a contract situation or maybe he wants a new contract? And the coach said, I don't know. Yeah. That is not believable, if I'm just going to throw that out there. I do not believe that Kyle Shanahan would have no clue whether Christian McCaffrey is upset with his contract or not.
I do, because he had no idea. He was not ready for that question. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know how NFL teams are. The PR guy is attached to the coach. It felt like he did not have an answer for this question. Where's Christian McCaffrey? Somebody should have given him an answer before. I feel like he got to practice. He's like, wait, where's McCaffrey? I don't think he knew coming into the day.
Do you not think it's responsibility of the head coach and one like Kyle Shanahan, who is not just taking the direction from the general manager? You don't think he should have an overall awareness of where Christian McCaffrey may be?
I think it surprised him. I guess he should. I'm not questioning whether he should or should not. I just think he did not know. And I don't think he had any idea. If it is a contract thing, I don't think Shanahan was aware of that.
Why would they be getting blindsided? He's like the second most important person on the team.
I don't know why. I have no idea.
To me.
Well, his contract runs through really realistically through 2025. I don't know why he's being blind. But if he wasn't blindsided, wouldn't somebody have prepped him for this?
There's just a lot of questions about why McCaffrey isn't there, especially when Nick Bosa is there and Purdy's there and Kittle's there. And especially about Bosa, you know, they're going on and on about how I felt like it was important to be here and I needed to, I know I don't have to be here, but I wanted to be here. And Purdy saying, yeah, how much this means that Bosa's there. And just beyond this, like, you know, McCaffrey can do whatever he wants to do, but you have to understand, you guys just lost the Super Bowl in overtime. And that was the second devastating postseason exit in back-to-back years. And you could blame it on the injuries when they lost to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. And last year, all you could do was blame yourselves because you had the ball in overtime first. And the fact of the matter is, if I'm trying to, just even for the optics of it, I'm showing up. You know, and there was another reason they said it might be a contract or, and this was a speculation, he's getting married soon. And so maybe he's distracted or something with that. I don't want to do a stereotype thing here, but what man on earth is missing work because they're wedding planning? Maybe it's just I'm working with you guys and I don't see that happening too much around here. I can't imagine a professional football player being like, guys, I got this wedding and it's really crazy. Like, I just, that just seems a little suspicious.
I agree with that.
Men just want to show up at your wedding, right?
Oh, God, we just want to survive the wedding planning. At least that's how I took it. Yeah, but the thing about the optics, like, who cares if Christian McCaffrey's at a Monday practice in May? That has nothing to do with anything. He's a running back. He's not the quarterback. And even if he was the quarterback, it was May 21st when he missed.
But if nobody knows if it's a contract.
Yeah, that part is weird. But if he shows up on Wednesday, there's no way we're going to talk about this ever again. And if he shows up at the beginning of camp, it is, you know, there was a day and an age where actually people did skip these workouts. Remember, Aaron Rodgers went to the beach with Miles Teller and skipped all his OTAs. So I think we're putting a little too much emphasis on him being there.
I just think that if he's not going to be there and the other veterans did show up, then,
that's so unfair.
No, but you would think that there would be, he would have given a reason.
Right. And there should have been some framing around this about what, there should be a narrative, a story that we can grab onto.
Yeah, like, guys, he's not here because X, Y, Z. And it makes me think that the contract could be a thing. And to be honest, I thought the contract situations with the 49ers was, is Ayuk going to get paid or traded? Yeah. Didn't even dawn on me that McCaffrey might have a contract situation. And then obviously Purdy will come up next year. But this, if this is a contract thing, it just threw a whole different wrench into this that I don't think anyone was accounting for.
Right. It's definitely not a good thing. McCaffrey has a big contract for a running back, but it's very manageable. This should be a huge pain in the neck for the Niners if all of a sudden he was unhappy. That being said, is it on McCaffrey to get the word out there why he's skipping it? Does he have to say this? Or what would you do if you were McCaffrey? I mean, this must be an expensive wedding if he needs more money. He said, dude, just say, I think he definitely had the biggest running back contract of all time.
Yeah.
It's like, so 4 years, $64 million. Like,
what do you think? They're like booking Rihanna as like their musical guest or something?
Is he getting married to Olivia Cooper? I assume. I never actually followed through on that. Yeah, probably will have Rihanna there. But anyway.
Louie in the chat says those gift registries don't just write themselves. Oh, so tedious.
One thing about McCaffrey, if he is putting pressure on them, like, you don't want to sign a 28-year-old running back to another gigantic deal. This is not, 27, turns 28 in June 7th. Like, this is, the Niners are going to be like, oh, man, I get paying Ayuk. They definitely don't want to pay McCaffrey again, right?
Definitely not. I don't think McCaffrey's getting another big bite at the apple here. But again, like, he's a big part of what they do now. And so I thought he was more the MVP last year than Brock Purdy was. So
If I'm McCaffrey, I'm going to go into negotiations. Like, I'm really a slot receiver. I'm not a running back. And in a way, he is. He's just not a typical running back.
You can't just tell me that, like, everything's great here in 49er land. And the reason why I don't believe that is because I do think the losses build on you. They've done a lot of winning. So I'm not, but these have been some high profile failures also. And I think those do weigh on you. And I do think that it's odd to me that Kyle Shanahan, like, known for what? Detail, precision, everything kind of buttoned up. He's the czar, and sort of he and John Lynch know everything. And I just find it odd that, you know, this is basically like their third most important guy on the team, maybe second, and they don't know. And
it's OTA though.
But if it's McCaffrey too, like, I probably give my employer the heads up that I'm not coming.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, my early inclinations were making a little bit too much of this until McCaffrey comes out and says, or his agent leaks that, I need a new contract. Honestly, he could show up tomorrow and I would not be shocked. And that thing about the big losses, I hear you, but They lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, right? They were definitely not the better team. Like, they should have lost.
They had a lead in the fourth
quarter. They had a lead in the fourth quarter, but and they had an opportunity, but they were a little too early to the party. And last year, I understand Shanahan did the wrong thing in overtime, but they did not lose to a worse team. Like, I don't feel like this is a team that's blown it. I think, like, they've been as Jerry Jones says, hanging around the rim, and I think, like, they're on the right path. They're doing everything right. They have a lot of great players. They've managed their cap well. I am not ready to panic about the Niners.
Curious how the Niner fans think, because I don't think Kyle Shanahan was very popular after that Super Bowl. 855-212-4227. You are welcome to weigh in. You can watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Wednesdays around here, we do the great debate. Got a fun one for you today. Encompassing all sports. Get to it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.